Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Wednesday, November 10th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that feels once again like it's been forever since the Flyers have played.
It's been a while, but we're getting closer.
Yeah, looking forward to tonight's matchup against the Leafs. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Flyers to keep up to date on all our episodes, Flyers news, some occasional snark. You can also email the show at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel Donner. You can find me on Twitter at rmiriam. I'm here with Russ Cohen, who's on Twitter at Sportsology. On today's show, we are going to preview tonight's matchup versus the Toronto Maple Leafs with Mike DeStefano of Locked On Leafs. Should be a lot of fun. And then we will wrap up with a few questions from our mailbag. Locked On Flyers is free and available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. So subscribe and you will get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right, Russ. So before we get into our conversation with Mike, just a few notes from Flyers practice and other goings on yesterday. It seems like the Flyers are sending a couple of guys to juniors or places elsewhere. Samu Tuomala is officially on loan back to his Finnish league team in Karpat.
Yeah, remember I said it had been a while. So I kind of wonder if he felt like it wasn't working for him for whatever reason. I mean, again, kind of like what I brought up last show. Sometimes if you don't feel like things are really well set and it could take a little while, like where the players are, better to get them back in an environment where, you know, they're going to thrive. And that's definitely the case for Tuomala.
And then similarly with Zayd Wisdom, it looks like Ariel Melendez posted on Twitter that according to Zayd Wisdom's Instagram, and so this is the social media whisper down the lane here, but Zayd posted a picture of him playing for Kingston. So it looks like he might be doing his rehab back in the OHL, which is not a terrible thing either.
No, I think it's fine. I mean, again, last year was good for him. It was the best place for him to be. But I told people I wouldn't get this excited this early because, you know, with all the goals he was getting, everybody. But I was like, listen, goaltending in the AHL last year was bad. A lot of the taxi squad guys would have been in the AHL, but they weren't. So this is definitely better for him, especially after rehabbing an injury. I agree with this move.
And then in the Flyers side of things, looks like Kevin Hayes and Ryan Ellis are getting closer to returns. The guys both participated in practice yesterday. Seems like Ellis is closer than Hayes, but that Kevin Hayes could be in a game as soon as next Tuesday.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. And with Ellis, since he was on the third pairing, I don't think he's playing Wednesday. That's just my super sleuth gut feeling on that.
Yeah, we'll see. I know AV said after practice that he was going to ease Ryan Ellis back into it so that his first game back, he could very well be on that third pairing.
See, that makes no sense to me. I don't understand. It's like, if he's 100%, he's 100%. If he's 100%, he should be playing where he normally should play. I disagree with it.
Well, we'll see what their decision turns out to be, and hopefully he comes back healthy and ready to go. And without further ado, here's our conversation with Mike DeStefano. All right, so like I said at the top of the show, we are thrilled to welcome from Locked On Leafs, Mike DeStefano. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here with you guys.
Yeah, it's been quite a while since the Flyers and Leafs have faced each other. It feels like centuries ago at this point.
It may as well be like the 2003-04 playoffs. Like it's been
right.
Long, you know.
And I did cover those. That was interesting. It was a good series to cover.
Actually, Robert Ash, I hate that guy.
Robert S. had never had any, he rarely had anything to say either, but he was good. He was.
All right, so getting into this year's Maple Leafs. Leafs had a little bit of a mixed start, and then in their most recent game, lost to the LA Kings. But prior to that, had actually been on a bit of a really good tear. So given all of that, like, what's the general temperature on the team right now?
Well, the temperature is never great in Toronto after a loss. It doesn't matter. You could literally have rolled off like a 16-game winning streak. You lose one game the way that they did against the Kings, and all of a sudden we're back to Chicken Little. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. But you know what? Like, they didn't play terrible last night. You know, Jonathan Quick was actually like really, really good in that game. And the biggest problem with the Leafs is just their defensive zone coverage. You got to tighten that up. But honestly, after, like, it just, the big boys are going right now, so things are okay stemming off that 5-game winning streak. But if they go out and they lose again to Philadelphia, then that's 2 in a row that they weren't able to kind of get off the map from, and that's when some doubt will start to seep back in, kind of like we saw a few weeks back when the Maple Leafs got off to a horrid start to the season.
Teams a lot of times watch video, advanced video and everything. One thing the Kings did against the Leafs was they saw that the Leafs weren't being very physical on D. They were doing their best active stick, and they went around them with their speed, and they won, you know, quite a few board battles. Do you think that's just a bad game by the Leafs, and they're going to play a little differently? Because if they give the Flyers that opportunity, like guys like Cam Atkinson and such, they're going to take it.
Yeah, no, that's actually been like somewhat of a concern for the Maple Leafs all season long. They've just had really poor defensive coverage. You know, they've looked a little bit slow at times, especially earlier in the year. And last night, guys like Athanasiou, I mean, that guy's got some jets on him, right?
Yeah, he can make anybody look slow, Muzzin aside. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. But I mean, even Trevor Moore blew right past Liljegren too.
He did. Like,
it's just, there's a couple of plays there. The Leafs have really struggled on the counterattack kind of all season long. So if the Flyers, I mean, if they come in on the counterattack, that could be dangerous for Toronto realistically. So yeah, I think that would be a concern going into this game. If you're the Maple Leafs, got to try and limit that as much as possible. And really it's turnovers, right? You can't give up the puck in the neutral zone because that's how that happens, right? You give the puck up where your forwards are starting to move up the ice, and all of a sudden it's picked off at center ice. And
yeah, Tavares had a bad turnover.
Yeah.
It's unlike him, but yeah.
And I think that's one of the things the Flyers were able to do well against Washington in their last game. So it'll be interesting to see if they can recreate a little bit of that strategy against the Leafs. You did mention that the top guys are playing well. I think it was Darren Drager on Twitter that I saw yesterday pointed out that anyone not named Austin Matthews, Nylander Marner, or John Tavares have not scored for the Leafs in 4 straight games. So those 4 have 61% of the Leafs' goals this season. Is that of concern, or is it not an issue because they're scoring, so they're getting wins?
Well, it's definitely a concern, I would say. It's less of a concern when you're winning. But in a game like last night, where your big boys didn't get it done at 5-on-5, they did score 1 on the power play. And the stat is that those 4 players, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and Tavares, have accounted for the team's last 14 goals. And that stems all the way back to October 30th, when Alex Kerfoot got a goal against the Red Wings. So nobody outside of those 4 have scored since October 30th. So, yes, that's clearly a concern, because I don't think that you can expect those 4 to account for, 3-4 goals a night. It'd be nice, but unfortunately it's not going to happen, especially against teams that play really well, really good structured hockey, and they limit as much as possible offensively. So once the big boys get canceled out, you need a little bit of production from your bottom 6, and the Leafs just haven't been able to do that. That said, there has been, some guys who have had some opportunities. Wayne Simmonds, I've been saying for a couple of games now, like, this guy's got to score. Like, he's got to get a goal. He's been all over the place. He's had a few really, really good chances. I remember he was a stud in Philly for you guys. Like, he was unbelievable. He clearly is not the same guy. No, not even in the slightest. But he's getting his legs back a little bit. You look at the stat sheet after every night, or you take a look at like the analytics boards, like this guy has 3-4 high danger chances a game at this point.
But the eye hand isn't what it used to be. Like his reflexes used to be lightning fast in the slot. By the time it hit the stick, it'd be up in the corner. It's not now.
No, it's not. Not at all. But he's a guy who I think might end up like he should be scoring based on where he is, based on where he's getting to the ice. Like those areas, you're supposed to score right in front of the net. Pierre Engvall had a good game the other night. Kasha's looked really good. He's looked dangerous. He's yet to find the score sheet. Actually, no, he's got one goal in the season, but still looking for a second. So there's some guys who've looked okay. Spets has actually been really, really good. For a while, he was leading the Leafs in goals. But the last week, they've been snake bitten. No one's been able to find the score sheet if you're not one of those big four.
Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business, so upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibility. I love how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed from down the street to around the globe. You can reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. Gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. Shopify has thousands of integrations and third-party apps, from on-demand printing to accounting to advanced chatbots and beyond. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. Go to shopify.com/lockedonNHL, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/lockedonNHL right now. Shopify.com/lockedonNHL.
I love Thanksgiving. All the good food and treats and plenty of them. But maybe you want a yummy dessert, but isn't so full of calories and sugar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories with 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. Replace the coconut cream pie with a coconut Built Bar, or go to a raspberry Built Bar instead of raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein, covered in 100% real chocolate. Built is a great option for when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, go for a Built Bar or two. Share some at your family gatherings. It will make things less awkward. Maybe Aunt Betty hasn't tried a Built Bar yet. There will be new surprises all month with limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly. So check the site often. And there's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, so easy question here. How much do they miss Zach Hyman?
A lot. Easy answer. A lot, honestly. Look, he did a fair amount for this team. And I think Maple Leaf fans, they knew how much Zach Hyman meant. I don't think there was many guys around the league or many other fans or many journalists around the league that understood how much he made that team gel. Like that line of him, Marner and Nylander or Matthews was just so good. Like they really were. And what's missing from that, like, well, the element that's missing most from him is the fact that he was always first on the forecheck. And he was first on the forecheck. He would regain possession in the offensive zone on a chip and chase. And then he would set it up for the guys like Marner and guys like Matthews and allow them to do their thing. But now you've got, like, Nick Ritchie, who doesn't quite have the wheels to get in there early on in the season. So they weren't able to set up. They weren't able to do much of anything. And then Michael
Bunn. All right, so let me segue, because that's my next guy to talk to you about. Nick Ritchie, who is never good in his own zone defensively. Really, I think the goals in Boston were an aberration. He was going to be something back in the day. I'm a good prospect guy. I certainly was tracking him. But somewhere in Anaheim, I just sort of said, I don't really see it for him. His numbers, I was really surprised that, what did they give him, like $1.5 million, something like that?
Two and a half.
Was a number.
For two years.
I didn't understand the 2 years, and I definitely gulped when I heard the number because it just didn't make sense. And I think based on what you're seeing so far, it doesn't make sense. But, you know, what's your take?
No, he's been brutal. Like, this is not working yet. We're not even a quarter way into the season yet, I suppose. It can turn around, but I'm with you. Like, it didn't work in Anaheim. It didn't work in Boston. I mean, at some point, you got to start late.
It worked in the regular season in Boston, but in the playoffs, it was bad. And that's why I feel like they didn't re-sign him. I know other people said, well, they couldn't afford him, whatever. If he would have done something in the playoffs, they would have brought him back. He's a Bruins kind of player.
Oh,
he
just
didn't produce.
Probably. Yeah. Well, what'd they give Foligno? Like, they gave Foligno more than the Leafs gave him.
Yeah.
So if he was good enough to be a player for them, they would have kept him over Foligno. But clearly, they don't think that he is, right? And I think Toronto is quickly realizing that as well. It didn't take him long. Didn't take Sheldon Keefe long to knock him off the top line and send him down to the fourth line. He's had a couple of games where it's like, okay, he looks like a fourth liner, but you're paying this guy $2.5 million. Like, and this is already a cap strap team. So, you know, Leaf fans are really souring on this guy. He's not providing much of anything offensively, defensively. Like, he's not even really mucking it up as much as you would think a guy who's as big as he is. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm out on Nick Ritchie, but he's got another year left on that deal at 2.5. I mean, I don't really know if the Leafs can even afford to hold him out of the lineup. Like, it's just such a weird situation. But I've been saying this for a little bit now. I think when this team is fully healthy, Ilya Mikheyev is expected to come back. If he comes back, I'm not sure that Nick Ritchie does stay in the lineup. I'm really not. I think
interesting
he's still like a good fallout. If he doesn't, you know, start to play better, because as of now, there's nothing that he's shown me that proves that he deserves to be in the lineup on a nightly basis over anybody else in that top 12.
I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about the Leafs goaltending. Campbell seems to have taken over as their primary goaltender for now, but he's played the last several games and with only one night off in between. Do you think we'll see him in net?
Yeah, he is going to play tomorrow night. So they signed Peter Mrazek to a contract, a 3-year deal to come in and kind of be a tandem.
Why? That's my question.
Sorry. Bad cough.
Well, it's funny. I was having this conversation with a buddy of mine and, you know, the Maple Leafs, they let Zach Hyman go. He was worth way. He, you know, they paid him a lot of money and the Leafs couldn't afford him. Yet look at what they're paying both Nick Ritchie and Mrazek. That's exactly what Zach Hyman's making for the most part. So you can look at that in a couple of different ways. So, but Mrazek's injured. So that's the reason why Jack Campbell's been playing so much lately. So Mrazek got hurt in his first game as a Maple Leaf 20 minutes into the game, 40 minutes in after the second period. Then he missed a couple of weeks maybe. And then he came back, played a game against Detroit, and then won that game, but didn't look too sharp. And then a couple of days ago, he got put on the IR with a groin injury. He's going to miss the next month or so.
So over the course of this conversation, we've talked a lot or skirted around a little bit like cap issues with the Leafs and, you know, whether they're going to have to get rid of some guys in order to make room. And to me, and I think like the league-wide perception is that Leafs fans seem to be more obsessed with cap hits and cap hits relative to performance and comparables than any other fan base. Do you think that's a fair assessment? And if so, like, why is that?
So, being someone in the market, I guess I don't realize this. So is this a perception that other markets have, that Leaf fans are so tied to performance and dollars? Like, you guys don't you guys don't care that JVR is making $7 million with one goal on
the field? No, there's Flyers fans that care about that. But it does seem like Leaf fans, it's like
– especially not, like Marner. Like every time Marner cap and performance comes up, Marner's name is just automatically mentioned.
Well, so here's the thing, right? So Marner, It was like six games into the year. He had one secondary assist. He's making $11 million. Like, that's not what you're paying.
Okay, but you just said it. So you just said the $11 million. It's like,
no, I'm agreeing.
Like, you already paid it. Yeah.
I agree that Leaf fans totally do that. I didn't know that other teams didn't. I assume that this is how all fan bases act. Is that not true?
I think some act that way. I don't think they all do. I think it's more than just the Leafs, for sure. But the Leaf fans accentuated, I think.
Probably. But I think it's just because you look at the way that they've set up this team is unlike any other, right? Like, there's no other team that has 50% of their cap locked up in four guys. So I think that's why they always, like, it's always going to be accentuated because of that.
You know, people turned heads a little bit when the Blackhawks went and signed exorbitant contracts. I mean, not undeserved at the time, but with Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, right? And they won. But those two contracts, I think it was sort of unprecedented at the time to have two like high paying players like that. And so for the Leafs to do that with four guys essentially was, you know, it's a risk, but you know, they seem to think they know what they're doing there. With that lineup, and Leafs fans, I think, really, at least from an outside perspective, like, pay attention to every dollar and every cent in a way that other fan bases don't.
Well, because I mean, like, if you look at what happened this offseason, right? Like, they lost Zach Hyman because they couldn't afford to keep him. Well, why can't they afford to keep him? It's because they're paying all these guys all this amount of money. And if they're not getting it done, they haven't been able to win a single playoff round in 5 years. How are they, like, why are they getting paid that much money? Are they overpaid? What are you paying them to do? You're paying them to win and score goals. Mitch Marner has gone 18 straight playoff games without a goal. He's making $11 million. So when you see that happen, and then, you know, he's making that type of money, and then Zach Hyman has to be jettisoned out to Edmonton because you can't afford to keep him because you're paying all these other guys all this money, that conversation definitely pops up. So I'm just actually somewhat perplexed that other fan bases aren't having these conversations, but I think they will. I think it's going to start. You look at what's been happening around the league. I mean, Seth Jones ain't worth that $9.5 million
contract. No, that's definitely that conversation started. Right? That's true. That
conversation is going to start there. Zach Werenski going to be worth that type of money? And right? Darnell Nurse, $9.5 million in Edmonton, is that going to be worth that type of money if they don't win a championship? You know, so I think we're starting to see a lot of teams start to pay their players. And if they don't win, I believe that these conversations are going to really start popping up everywhere, not just here in Toronto.
Well, this has been a delightful conversation with interesting opinions on various players and trends. So I am looking forward to both teams hitting the ice tonight. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you out there?
Yeah, obviously you can subscribe to the Locked On Leafs podcast and check that out. Find me on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck. As well. So those would be the two spots where you can find my work.
Bet Online is back and better than ever with a new interface for the start of basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football and hockey action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, the NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Once again, thanks for making Locked On Flyers your first listen every day. We are free and available on all of your podcasting platforms. All right, Russ, so before we head out today, we're going to answer some questions from our mailbag.
Okay.
The first one is, what happens when Kevin Hayes comes back in the lineup? How do things shake out in the forward lines around him?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to go through all the lines, but he'll be the second line center. Everybody moves down the line, and that's essentially, you know, how you would do it.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm just wondering if that puts Lawton as a 4C or if they move him back out to the wing. That's my question mark.
Right. I mean, it does give them an opportunity to bring up somebody at 4C or use him. This go around, it seems like AV is okay with Lawton right now as a center. So I'm assuming it's going to be him.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point that AV seems to be liking him in that spot. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm very excited for this possibility. I guess I hadn't really had it in my head that he really would be back this soon, even though that was the timeline.
I was kind of in denial about it. Yeah, sure. I get that.
All right, next question. What Metro Division team are you most afraid of right now?
I mean, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm not afraid of UFOs. Me personally, I'm not afraid of anything. If I was the Flyers, I'd be afraid of the Carolina Hurricanes because they could shut you down. They have enough offense to beat you. Evgeny Svechnikov is hell on wheels to cover. Freddie Anderson, you know, regular season Freddie, I call him, is very good. And he's been really good for them with that extra defense. You never know what happens come the playoffs, but right now, I wouldn't want to face them.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And it's kind of terrifying that just playing Carolina could kind of stop momentum for any team. And that's the thing that I fear the most, is that if you get a really bad result, and, you know, they're around the corner for the Flyers this Friday. Yep. And, you know, it does make me nervous that the Flyers have been playing generally well. I mean, there's problems, but they're figuring out ways to win in more situations than not. And going up against a team like the Hurricanes is going to be a big test for them to see if they can overcome. And if they're not successful, can they recover from it?
Yeah, that's a good question. And we'll see.
All right, so next one coming from Jim. Do you think the Olympic break will help or hurt the Flyers?
It's an interesting question because it's a long stoppage in the, you know, during the regular season. Remember, the All-Star game is before that. I'm probably going to be covering that. So, and that's in Vegas. So it's possible they'll have a player go from Vegas to the Olympics, at least one. Never know, it could be a couple. But I'll say it like this. If their team does well, it definitely gives them a little extra boost. I kind of wonder if they're there and, you know, they realize best they can do is bronze or nothing, if that sort of like gives them the feeling like they wish they were back. But as far as injuries, if that's really what this question's getting at, you always risk it. Remember John Tavares. I mean, that's, nobody will forget that.
No, most certainly not. And I think it'll be a good thing overall, because I don't think, again, there's a ton of Flyers who are going to be in the Olympics. So it'll give everybody else a chance to rest and recover. And, you know, my only thing I'm nervous about really is if they're on a hot streak and then this grinds them to a halt and it's hard for them to restart. There, you know, there's pros and cons to this whole thing. And
yep.
I am not wedded to NHL players being in the Olympics or not. I honestly don't care. So it'll be interesting to see what position the Flyers are in when this comes about.
You know when you'll care? When we have to create some content around it. That's when you're going to care.
Well, I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about around then. All right, last question from my old pal Danielle from her days co-hosting this show. And she always has the best questions and things she wants to talk about. So she's asking us, based on Nate Thompson's Insta video of everyone's outfits from the Drip team dinner. We did talk about this on Monday show, yeah, but we did not answer this question. So it's a good one. She says, who has the best fit and why was it Coots? Fair point. We did talk about that on Monday. But the big question is, whose outfit are you most likely to wear IRL?
I mean, me, it's Giroux, because he had the older person's outfit on. So that's easy.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Oscar Lindblom, because I guarantee you I have worn a long sleeve Henley with a band t-shirt, short sleeve t-shirt over it in my lifetime. I have 100% worn that, and just with like jeans and then or tracksuit pants. And he's got the Nike sneakers on, and I had similar shoes to that at some point, but I would probably have been rocking Keds at the time, or Converse. More likely Converse.
Yeah, probably Chuck Taylors or something.
Yeah, there. Yeah. So like jeans, Chucks, long sleeve Henley with a band T-shirt, little baggy over it. I probably wore that every day all through middle school.
Still a scary thought.
For him or for me?
For you. Sounds like what Punky Brewster would wear.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
That was my era. All right, wrapping up with a Flyers fun thing. It's not like, this is a very serious thing, but it's a good thing. So maybe it's a Flyers good thing. Chris Therrien, former Flyer and broadcaster, went to go speak to the Hershey Bears recently and talked about his career and his on the ice and in broadcasting, but also his battle with alcoholism, and just, you know, had some frank conversations with those guys about how to deal with those issues. And it's super cool that he did that, and he continues to do that and tell his story and try to help, you know, the younger players coming up in potentially avoiding addiction and such. And, you know, I think that it's such a big issue now, and guys are more and more willing to talk about it in order to help future players. And that's just, I think, the best thing to come out of all of this.
Yeah, he's a good guy. And I always knew there was probably something troubling him. Never knew exactly what. And now this makes sense. And it's nice that he is passing that knowledge on.
That'll do it for today's show. Thanks for listening. We will be back tomorrow with a recap of tonight's game and a prospect profile. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you. Send us in your mailbag questions via Twitter at Lockdown Flyers, or you can email us at lockdownflyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's rmiriam.
I'm Russ, and I'm at Sportsology, SPORTSOLOGY.
You made us your first listen today. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling.